Thanks a lot.
Okay, good afternoon. It is 3:05 p.m., June 11th, 2018. I'm Randy Christman, Chairman of North Dakota Public Service Commission, joined by Commissioners Brian Krasius and Julie Fedorchek. We are conducting a work session today on Northern State Power Company biomass cases. Three of them, PU-17-270, PU-17-271, PU-17-322. Actually, two of them are, well, they're all these biomass-type cases and the deferred accounting and everything that goes with them. So I don't have any opening comments. Commissioner Fedorchek, do you?
I do not.
Okay, I'll turn it over to you, Commissioner Krasius, as portfolio holder, to lead the way.
All right. Thank you, Randy. What I'm going to do is, we're looking at considering both the Associated Contract Loggers and Truckers of Minnesota and also Red Willow Management.
Were we broadcasting?
Yeah.
The red light is on.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, I believe we're live. But
good catch, though. If it wasn't working.
Steve, can you verify we are live? Correct.
Yes.
Okay. So, in terms of those two entities and what they've presented, I'm actually going to turn it over to Pat, but to determine whether there is anything useful to be considered. That they have presented, do they have a standing? And that would be affected by our decision. And then also, is this, how will this impact citizens of North Dakota? So with that, Pat, I'm going to let you dive in just to help expedite the process.
And before you do, I should have been more clear in the opening too. This work session really isn't about us reaching a final conclusion on the cases requested. It's more about the request from the loggers and truckers and from Red Willow and dealing with that in unique part of the case. So go ahead.
Right. So I'm going to start it off by passing the buck and ask legal. So what are the criteria for grant or for allowing somebody intervention status or giving somebody a hearing? Excuse me, they didn't ask for intervention status, just for granting a hearing.
Okay, well, I was in Westlaw, not looking that question up, but the computer crashed on me. So that's the lesson there is don't go to Westlaw to do any research. So I don't know the standards, but I do know that your ADP cases have factors that need to be considered, and the commission has done many of them. They know what the factors are. And the question here is whether the parties who commented have raised factual issues about those factors, not about other things, that cause the commission to want to know more. And I guess that question is, to me, inclusive. If the parties who commented raised facts that you would like to incorporate into your own thought process, then you pretty much have to admit them into the record after the hearing, and that causes a right of cross-examination and response in the other side. So if there are any facts related to the issues before you, ADP and the fuel adjustment question, that you want in the record or that you have questions about, then that's when you say yes to a hearing. And if there aren't, because they're superfluous or irrelevant or have already been discussed or whatever the other reasons are, then you're within your discretion to say you don't need a hearing. I would caution you that any new facts in either of the two filings, and there was just one today, a little email with it, and I don't know that there's any basis for supplemental comments, but you can consider it a request for another fact to be in front of you. You would, if you want to put any of those into your decision, they need to be made a part of the record. And then that entails notice to the other party and a right to cross-examine and present their own facts.
So, Lana, what's your analysis of this?
Well,
of this, these filings, do they provide issues on the prudence of Laurentian Energy project and the accounting treatment?
Well, of course, the notice was limited to the prudence of, because we had a hearing on how to account for Laurentian.
I guess a way just the on prudence of automatic
right.
adjustment clause
right.
rule.
In my mind, that one is fairly easy to dismiss because that is a question about how you recover certain legitimate costs from ratepayers. Do you recover it in base rates? Do you defer it and somehow let it build up? Do you run it through the fuel adjustment? And I don't know that these people have any standing in that issue, because it is whether or not they think that's right or wrong doesn't have relevance to a North Dakota case with North Dakota ratepayers.
Mm-hmm.
That's a quick opinion, but that's my opinion on that one. The prudence, go ahead.
My question, it seemed like they had some concerns or comments about the actual costs that would be passed through.
Yes, and to me, those go to the prudence.
Okay.
Because a prudence hearing, if you remember one of the hundreds we've had, is all about the
yeah.
substantive merits of doing something. Is it a good idea, a bad idea? Is it going to be good for ratepayers, bad for ratepayers? So there are some allegations about the cost. There are some allegations about things they didn't, that they say NSP did not tell you. And then there are some, like, new things that happen since that you should incorporate, and those to me all go to prudence. And again, the notice was about prudence of Laurentian, because that one was never requested by the company. They did not apply for prudence. That was they came up with that in the settlement, and so the notice was written narrowly. The rest of it is closed. So there, again, it's a question of whether you want to add facts to a closed record. The notice of opportunity for hearing is about prudence of Laurentian. And, you know, you need to think back, well, what is the evidence in the record about the prudence of Laurentian? You know, that there's the application. There's a lot of detail in an application for deferred accounting that would apply to it. And there's the settlement and the testimony about the settlement being reasonable.
Well, the issue here is whether there's new information they're providing that should be considered by us.
And that is sufficient enough to cause you to want to
right.
reopen the hearing. Or sufficient enough, if you don't go that far, to say, I want it in my record. And I think, Pat, you probably know what some of them, you probably have an idea of what some of them are. When I first mentioned this at the last work session, I had read it quickly at that point, and I said, well, read number 6 and 7 in the loggers and truckers filing, okay? And the reason I said that, let's just go over 6. Laurentian Authority recognized they weren't going to be able to meet the requirements, okay? An average threshold of biomass-generated power over the term of the PPA, and were therefore going to be liable for $10 million penalty. NSP neglected to include that revenue in their filings. I didn't even go check if that's true or not. That's a factual allegation that they have raised about the dollars involved in a prudence determination for Laurentian. which in essence equates to an additional $10 million deferred revenue to NSP and adds $10 million to the buyout compensation paid to Laurentian. Again, I don't know the truth or falsity of that statement. I just think it's a statement that could be about the prudence of Laurentian. So that's kind of what I did, was go through and just picked a few of those.
How does that add $10 million to the buyout paid to Laurentian if they're getting it from Laurentian? Laurentian is paying the $10 million penalty to Excel. How does that add $10 million to the buyout compensation Excel paid to Laurentian?
Yeah, I don't.
That doesn't make sense to me. Does it? Do you, Pat?
Well, I get in trouble when I do this. I try to guess at what they're... I mean, maybe what they're saying is that there's $10 million that Laurentian would have to pay if they defaulted on the PPA, and therefore doing this gets them out of that potential penalty or potential, penalty, they call it. And therefore, it's like compensation to Laurentian, because Laurentian is not going to have to pay it.
I see.
I was surprised that you picked that example, because to me that seemed the fuzziest of three on that page. Although, I mean, $10 million, it's a pretty big allegation. But, to me, number 5 and 7 made the more classic examples in my mind. Although 5, I don't know the dollar amount, but if it's true, negotiating a premium value to pay that off, and there is some valuations that are available other than just guesses through the filing documents of the bankruptcy, according to this again, that really seems kind of disturbing. And then the number 7, combine those two, you're over $50 million being paid out to those cities that
yes,
they're asking questions about. And so those are pretty big allegations.
I had those marked too. I have question marks by them, so I understand what you're saying about fuzziness. 5, though, is about Benson, and the hearing was closed on Benson, so the issue the issue in Benson is whether you want that incorporated or any reason to reopen. And 7, though, is about, I think, Benson and Laurentian, or maybe all three of them. I think Laurentian's in Virginia, isn't it? But, yes, they're factually, I mean, I didn't go into this to decide anything. I went into it enough to see if they were related to factors you consider for Laurentian's prudence. I mean, there's a lot of information, and NSP addresses much of this about Minnesota requirements, which many of which we would consider externalities, not relevant in North Dakota. Can't be used. So there's many, many little tidbits of factual allegations that I would say are not do not merit any kind of reconsideration or hearing. But the question I think for the commission is, if you have questions about these facts, then you're saying, in other words, have a hearing. Or say, we want to incorporate all of this. We're not going to go as far as a hearing, but NSP, you're entitled to, and staff, rebut or produce your own testimony. You always have a potential that somebody will ask for live cross-examination, and then you'll have a hearing anyway.
Well, part of me says, in my mind, that these are, it's not trivial amounts. They're big allegations, and that we should find out. But on the other hand, does that mean that, and not saying that these two groups are trying to do this, but are we ever able to get to the end of anything if someone just wants to delay it? Can someone just throw out anything and we will always say, oh, well, this is big allegation, we'd better have another hearing?
I think this situation is different because we issued the notice because the settlement had two things in it that were not brought up by anybody ahead of time. And that's why anything you do, I think you limit to, if you don't deny altogether, you limit it totally narrowly to those two issues, or perhaps just to the one issue of prudence. So, okay, Pat, take over here.
If you see information that you think you would like to incorporate into the record, that isn't necessarily part of the hearing, because the only thing that would be part of the hearing would be the two issues that were in the notice.
Or one of the two issues. I mean, I think there's grounds to say we're not having a hearing on the fuel adjustment waiver.
Right.
But it's either or a combination thereof.
Thanks for clarifying that.
Yeah. Well, we have this notice that says, we didn't talk about Laurentian prudence before, and it came up in this settlement, and so now there's an opportunity for people to comment. You get something back, you say, this person wants a hearing on this issue. Does it rise to the level, in my mind, of needing a hearing? That's one thing. But there is also, if this information came to your attention, somebody happened to write you a letter. You didn't have a notice out there, but somebody wrote you a letter and it had tidbits of information in it that you thought was relevant and interesting and had some reason to be in your case, you could say, all right, I want to incorporate this into my case. So they're not really steps. They're two different tracks, but they can happen together or separately. I guess I'd say if you were having a hearing, don't do the other thing. It just mucks it up. Just have a hearing. Let people come and say what they have to say. Very narrow hearing. And again, I'm not saying that it's obvious that this rises to the level of requiring a hearing, but I was trying to tee up the question for you. Chair?
There's a petition intervene too, right?
No, I haven't seen a petition intervene, unless I missed it. Is there? Well, Pat assumed too, so that's a little scary, but I don't
remember. I assumed if you were requesting a hearing, you were kind of asking to intervene, but.
No, regular people can request a hearing.
Okay. Well, you know, the one thing that NSP doesn't really address in their comments is the number 6 on the loggers.
Right, I didn't see it either.
They basically say most of the comments address environmental or economic issues that affect only Minnesota. That really doesn't get to the whole issue of whether or not they would have, you know, the Laurentian would have failed to meet the obligations of the contract and would have had to pay a penalty, which would have
right
made a different calculation for the buyout.
Right. It doesn't get to that, you know, cost-benefit analysis of Laurentian prudence.
And then they also say that the prudence of having a resource addition in the state, well, okay, environmental issues and economic issues in Minnesota, you know, all those things. Yeah, they talk about that, but it really doesn't say anything. They don't address number 6 that I can see. So I'm missing something here. So that's probably the one piece of information that has some relevance to the prudence discussion.
Well, and number seven, I wasn't sure, you know, if that, they say it adds to the cost to ratepayers, but for the payment to the city, I don't know. I mean, but again, I don't think NSP addressed that.
$20 million.
You're talking about
Benson.
City of Benson, the 20.
Oh, and the
well, the city of wherever Laurentian is, Virginia or someplace.
Well, cities of Hibbing and Virginia. Well, the question is, where does the $54 million land, and how does that impact North Dakota ratepayers? Would that be in that 6 to 7% range, Pat, of that amount, potentially?
I didn't hear the first part of your question.
Well, there's a total of $54 million. That's what they're citing in PPA termination expenses.
That's
for the retirement of bonds.
Retirement of the bonds.
That information, I believe, is part of the application that NSP already made. This isn't additional money.
It's already been factored in?
I think it has.
Well, I had wondered if they had made the applications part of the evidence, but I don't know the answer to that without looking it up either.
So why hasn't staff advocacy commented on these at all?
They commented and said they agreed. Mitch filed, but they agreed
what?
With NSP.
There's a stipulation. There's a settlement agreement in this.
And there's a filing from
Mitch.
Yeah,
I know there's a settlement agreement, but have they commented on this?
Yes, there was a filing from Mitch that said they reviewed the three items and that they join NSP's reply.
Oh, yeah, I guess it was so short. I thought it was a cover letter to something.
Well, I know. I had to read it a couple times to make sure I didn't miss something.
All right.
Yeah.
Short and to the point.
I mean, we could ask the parties to address more fully 6 or 6 and 7 or anything else that falls into that category and why it should or shouldn't be part of the record.
If we determine that 6 and 7 should be part of the record, does that then invite people to comment automatically about those things?
Yes, there's a statute that says you give notice that you're incorporating that, and there's a right to present their own evidence in rebuttal and or cross-examine.
Okay. So when assessing the prudence of a transaction, the commission may only consider the benefits of having the resource addition located in this state. That's what they say, NSP says.
That's a true statement, but I don't know that it has anything to do with this case.
Well, we don't. Well,
they're saying don't look at the benefits and detriments to poor Minnesota.
No, but we do look at the prudence of a resource
addition
and its and how it's being treated and applied and cost shared by our ratepayers, right?
Yes. That is taken slightly out of context because the sentence is about looking at prudence and deciding that it's good economic development, then that you can do if it's located in North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But it's not, it doesn't defeat the normal judgment of what do you want ratepayers to pay for or not pay for? What do you want the company to invest in or not invest in? I wasn't even sure why that was there. Zav, if you're listening.
Such as the return approved by the MPUC. Oh, so number seven, they're saying the use of the Minnesota RDF money in Minnesota communities affected by the transactions are irrelevant. But who paid for that? Are they? I thought that these loggers are saying that XL ratepayers are paying back that fund, so some North Dakota customers would be charged for those.
That's number what seven. I think they're implying.
And
too, but yeah. I don't know for sure.
And NSP is saying the use of Minnesota RDF money on Minnesota communities affected by the transactions is irrelevant. So I agree if that's some pool of money that the legislature provides and XL isn't charging North Dakota customers to repay that pool back. Mm-hmm. But it sounds to me like that's what is happening here. Do you guys read that differently?
Well, that's what the accusation seems yes. to be.
Yes.
If
whether that's true or not, I guess, is the question.
If I'm remembering right, that RDF fund was not charged to North Dakota ratepayers, even though Grand Forks was getting some of the money.
Well,
if I remember how that went.
Evidence, that's not in the record. Well, it might be.
So the question
might be in here.
It might be, yeah. It might be, you're right.
It probably is. I mean, they probably talked about that.
Which would have been nice if NSP had
cited that,
yes, to help us along, or me along, anyway. I mean, they do mention the overall final numbers that staff and the company concluded would be a benefit.
Yeah, the net is still
yeah.
a benefit to North Dakota ratepayers in the amount of...
Yeah, I think the only question would be if some things were not allowed, would the net be even bigger?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Pat, thoughts?
It seems like there are a lot of questions. There are questions about the information provided here and the information or the information that we wish NSP would have added to their comments. So I don't know that I could say that there's enough here that would change I think there's enough question that we could have a hearing limited, very specific issues on Laurentian. And in number seven, I'm not sure if that also applies to Laurentian. Like you said, where is Laurentian? In Hibbing or Virginia?
I think it's Virginia, though I did look that one up. So
we don't know if the dollars they're talking about here, any portion of those dollars are part of the Laurentian case. We would have to clarify that. In the end, it might not make any difference, but we don't know, I guess.
Well, I'm kind of on the same page as you, but short of deciding to have a hearing, that's why I said, well, maybe we can ask for additional information in order to determine whether this should be part of the record or cause
hearing.
I
think that's good, too.
Better, a further explanation of, like, 3 points in here and a further response from
you're talking
companies.
About asking the company or asking advocacy staff?
All three. They'll... Yep. Whoever has, well, the two commenters, and the two parties, all four.
Because I'd almost be surprised to hear that advocacy staff didn't dig into this a little deeper.
Well, me too. But
and so they probably have, and the answers are there. It's just that those of us in this room don't know.
Right. It's probably in the record somewhere. And if they pointed to that,
I mean, if they agree that they have to have, they're basically agreeing a statement like this. Use of Minnesota RDF money on Minnesota communities affected by the transactions are irrelevant to the commission's proceeding. They're basically saying they agree with that.
Right.
So it must not be North Dakota ratepayer dollars going to them, but that would be nice to know.
Yeah.
In, you know, affirmatively.
I know it's kicking the can a little bit, but it seems like we have questions, and there should be a fairly easy way to get the answers. Which doesn't have to go into the record. I mean, if you get the answers and you're satisfied you don't want a hearing.
Alternatively, can you guys dig into this? Can't you dig into the record and figure out, I mean, it's just 2 points. What do you think more specifically about the prudence of the two issues at stake here?
Well, we could, but we have to be sure that we are serving the other parties anyway. And I mean,
well,
by asking them,
I mean, they already have. They know we're thinking about
when
this.
When we figure out, I mean, yes, if we find it in the record, then we can.
I mean,
do
you
it
guys
on our
could
own.
Look through the record and say,
yes,
you know, yep, we've looked at this, we looked at this, we found it here, there, the other, there. We don't see
we could.
any.
We could do that.
Evidence that these are related to the prudence.
I'm guessing that there's going to be that it's not going to be quite that simple, but yes, we can do it, and part of it will get answered that way, and I think there's going to be this going back to the commenters and trying to figure out what they're really saying, which then is new information that we will then bring to you and be in the same boat and getting the other party's response from doing that. So,
well, and the reason
I was just trying
to Randy
raises
a good point that it's somewhat unusual for advocacy to take such a clear and succinct position. Advocacy staff joins in Northern State Powers Company reply. That's it. Mm-hmm. So
we can certainly start by doing that and see if we get to the bottom of
it.
It
seems like it might be the first step that we should see
okay.
if we can't just get to the bottom without creating another process to drag this out longer.
Okay.
I'd sure like to get her to a resolution on this, but I'd like to think that we're comfortable that these allegations have been considered.
I agree.
Okay, that's what we'll do. Thanks.
And Ryan, how to get in here? I'm sure. You gonna close this down?
Oh, yeah. We are concluded with this work session. Thank you.
All right.
Just patiently waiting.